Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 214 of Paranormal Stories. In this episode, I'm reading from Jeremy Spillane's book, Joan and Roger Alive in the Afterlife. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast, and here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. I'm going to be reading from chapter 1, which is titled Jones and Roger's Spirits on Camera, and this is what Jeremy has written. 3 weeks after Roger died, Caroline, Alison, Colin, and myself went to a Stephen Holbrook evening. Stephen Holbrook is the UK's premier psychic medium. We had seen him before, more than once. I'd been planning that we would go anyway, even before Roger had died. Now it seemed like a good idea to go and see if Roger would send us a message via Stephen. Roger came through Stephen with an amazing message which was 100% accurate. Unfortunately, we didn't record the evening's performance, but later, between us all, retrospectively, we were able to piece together what was said. Roger was reassuring us that he wasn't in pain when he died. It was very peaceful for him. Where he was now was perfect. He was very worried about 3 climbing plants that he had just bought and were still in his hallway when he had left in the ambulance. He wanted us to make sure they would be planted and looked after. Later we found the plants, took them home, and planted them. They are all doing very well. Isn't it bizarre how something so ordinary and mundane could be at the forefront of a spirit's thoughts? Stephen explained that Roger knew that the 4 of us had been with him in the hospital room once he had passed, and described how Alison had kissed him goodbye, which made a big impression on him. She hadn't kissed him for 2 years due to the various COVID-19 official guidance, restrictions, laws, whatever. We first heard about Stephen Holbrook from Colin, who had been to see him a few years previously, following the death of his father, Alec, in 2009. He had seen an advert in the local paper for a Stephen Holbrook evening and felt the information had leapt out of the page, convincing him he needed to go, which he did. His father came through with a message, which was very forceful. Stephen said he had someone pushing in, and that was exactly how Alec's character was, determined to be heard. Stephen asked if the date of 23rd of February meant anything to anyone. Initially, Colin had remained quiet, as he mistakenly thought his dad's birthday was 22nd February. However, Stephen was very insistent that it was the 23rd. Later, Colin checked with his mother, Ada. She confirmed that his dad's birthday was indeed on the 23rd. A few months later, Colin took Roger to see Stephen Holbrook because he'd been interested in Colin's experience and was keen to see him for himself. Again, Colin's dad came through during the show. Initially, Roger had seemed reasonably impressed, but later, on the way home in the car, he changed his mind, telling Colin that the messages were a bit vague. Seemingly, Roger was not convinced of either Stephen Holbrook's psychic abilities or the afterlife after all. After Roger died, Caroline and I regularly visited the cemetery where he was to be buried next to his wife, Joan. We had been frequent visitors before, paying our respects to Joan since she had died 4 years previously. We hadn't witnessed anything out of the ordinary with Joan at the cemetery, and the signs she had given us previously had diminished. We had seen Stephen Holbrook a couple of times in the hope Joan might come through with a message, but we had never heard anything from her. We had visited the cemetery the day Roger died and continued to call in regularly over the following days, planning how we were going to organise the graves. The headstone had to be removed for the burial and then would be sent back to the monumental masons for the additional wording to be added. We also decided to have a photograph of Joan and Roger etched onto the back of the stone. We had plenty of time to decide and implement the plans, as the headstone couldn't be replaced for 6 months from Roger's burial. For us, it was an excellent reason to regularly visit the cemetery, and other local cemeteries, getting ideas from the other headstones and graves, and investigating what was possible. We enjoyed the peace and serenity of the cemetery, and it gave our now very elderly spaniel the opportunity of a very gentle walk. Strictly speaking, dogs aren't allowed in the cemetery, but we kept our fingers crossed that none of the other spirits there would grass us up to the authorities. To date, it seems no spirits have reported us. When we went to the grave, Caroline and I would take video film on the mobile phone, so we had a record of our visits, the grave, and the surroundings. This was to help us formulate the plans for what we wanted to be done. While I was reviewing this footage, incredibly, I started to see various light anomalies on the film. Some of them were hard to spot, and it required concentrated examination of the footage. But some of them were surprisingly easy to notice. One of the most impressive happened literally just a couple of days after Roger died. At the grave, there were dozens of little light anomalies, initially seeming like lots of insects flying around, but when you study them very closely, you can see that they aren't insects. They're little specks of light moving around. I'm still not sure exactly what the light anomalies are, but they are definitely something to do with the spirits. Whether each spirit has one light anomaly they are able to control, or whether one spirit can create many light anomalies, I'm not certain. After seeing these bizarre light anomalies, we took more video footage, and I would regularly check it when we got home for future reference. Roger has given us a few signs since he died, but nowhere near as many as Joan had given when she died. We have had one or two strange electrical problems in the house with the lights that I haven't been able to explain. I put those down to Roger. My mobile phone crashed 2 days after Roger died. I had to reset it. It had never done that before. It's never done it since. When Caroline had owned it before me, it had never done it. So I also attribute that to Roger. Once, when Caroline was on a call discussing an offer for Roger's house with the estate agents, the phone line went haywire, making strange, otherworldly noises that the agent described as spooky. Again, we put that down to Roger. Possibly the most bizarre of all was a few weeks after Roger died. Caroline was at work, and the virtual assistant was playing hits of the 80s. She was talking to a colleague about the funeral, when all of a sudden, the song, "The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face," sung by Roberta Flack, started to play. This is the song that Roger chose to play at Joan's funeral, and Caroline and Allison also chose it for Roger's funeral. There is no doubt this was Roger playing the song, as it definitely wasn't a hit of the 80s. The headstone was moved, and over the next few days we were able to finish off the grave for Joan and Roger. We installed low cast iron edging around the perimeter, having levelled the soil, and then we covered the plot in slate chippings. The plot is very tightly situated between neighbouring graves, so the accuracy of the position of the headstone and edging was paramount. It has worked brilliantly, and we're all delighted with the end result. We visit the grave to pay our respects and to admire it, and to speak to Roger to see if he likes having the best grave in the cemetery. I get the feeling that he approves, as we continued to see light anomalies on film when we reviewed the footage. On bonfire night in 2022, Allison suggested that we go to the cemetery to let off some fireworks that she had found at Roger's house while clearing out his effects. The rockets were many years old, having been forgotten at the back of the garage, but she thought it would be nice to set them off in memory of relatives who had died. We had a couple of our grandchildren staying with us, and Caroline was worried that they may be a bit scared going to the cemetery in the dark, but they were just excited. We hadn't been to the cemetery at night before, but armed with a torch each, we had enough light to see where we were going. It was a lovely evening, and the visit was surprisingly enjoyable. We found the cemetery very calming, serene, and very beautiful. Many of the graves were lit with solar-powered lights. It was not scary at all. I filmed as usual and checked it later. Some light anomalies were present again. You have to look very carefully to tell what is a light anomaly and what is an ordinary speck of light, either from fireworks or reflections from a torch playing tricks with the camera lens. But there were definitely some light anomalies on the camera. Today I was reading from Jeremy Spillane's book, Joan and Roger Alive in the Afterlife. And if you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support this podcast is to sign up on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife or click on the button on the homepage, pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. Just so you know, if you're a patron, you get a 25% discount when you book a past life regression session with me. And I'm offering a free consultation call, which can be booked on my website. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.